Hello and welcome to the Climate Talk podcast. Excited to be back. We're making a return today and we're very excited about this. It's probably the first you're listening to this year or the first we are recording this year. And I'm very excited that after this long break, we're back with this episode. If you're listening for the first time, welcome. Where on earth have you been? This is the Climate Talk podcast. And on this platform, we have conversations around climate change. We speak with environmentalists, thought leaders, policymakers, professionals from all walks of life, and we talk about everything climate, from climate action to climate finance to climate denials to what climate actions are people taking and every other thing along the lines of climate change. And we hope that you will learn a thing or two from this episode. My name is Seyifumi Adebote. You can call me your green guide and I'll be delighted to take you on this jolly ride. It's going to be some 25-30 minutes of learning something new, and I'm very certain that you would also find it exciting. I must say a very big thank you to my team. This includes Olumide Idoru of the International Climate Change Development Initiative and Jimo Oluwatobi-Segun, who make this happen every now and then. I also want to say a very big thank you to all those that have reached out to us via email. For those who continue to check previous episodes of the podcast, we're very grateful indeed. We have over 30 episodes recorded and on the website. You could also find it on every podcast streaming platform. The website is climatetalkpodcast.com. That is www.climatetalkpodcast.com. And you can find the Climate Talk podcast on all your podcast streaming platforms, from iTunes to Podcast Radio to Google Podcast. Wherever it is you find your podcast, you definitely will find podcasts. This also includes Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, Overcast, TuneIn, CastBox. Everywhere you find podcasts, you're sure to find the Climate Talk podcast there. Who am I speaking with today? Her name is Jumoke Omodeni. Jumoke Omodeni is a research officer based in Ibadan, where she leads a lot of social impact and social science projects. She also works with the Eco Science Generation, and she does a little bit of work around energy, climate change, climate education. And on this episode of the Climate Talk podcast, we try to co-create the meaning of climate change, what it means, how it makes people feel. Is it really an opportunity for Africa or people in the African continent to think about development and different ways of doing things? How exactly do young people feel overwhelmed about climate change issues? How do they react to these issues? What are the ways they are coping with this, you know, anxiety that comes with climate change? We also post the question to see which side of the divide you fall into. Are you of those that believe that climate change is a problem and there is something to be done? Or are you on the other end of the spectrum that think, oh, I don't care so much about climate change? Are you of those who take action and feel like, yes, we got to do something? Or you're those who feel, I think we can be fine and I can live another day without taking any climate action. So these are the kind of conversations we have. It's just a very relaxed, laid-back chat with Jumoke, trying to understand what exactly is climate skepticism, what are the ways that people react to climate change as a topic. And I find it really, really exciting, and I hope you will find it also educative at least, and that you'll share this with people within your network. Once again, welcome to the Climate Talk podcast, and right about now, we'll get into the conversation. Okay, so let's start with me asking you, Jumoke, what comes to mind when you think of climate change? Either you see it on the papers, you hear it on the radio, or you just think about it. What comes to mind?
I think the first thing that comes to my mind when I hear about climate change generally is that I actually see climate change as an opportunity for Africa to be at the spotlight. And it does get to me sometimes when I'm like, I hear about climate change on the news and then it's like, another one again, like those kind of feeling that comes knowing that the government is actually not taking it seriously the way they are supposed to be taking it. And also that feeling like you can do something more to actually like promote this whole climate change thing, but there are a lot of factors that can actually be overwhelming in the process. So I see climate change as an avenue, as an opportunity for Africa to put their solution in the spotlight. We have a lot of beautiful ideas and beautiful ways, even in our cultural aspects, like down to our ancestors and everywhere, the things that they have, the knowledge that they can contribute to actually help address this climate change. Like, we don't really have to look at the conventional solutions, like, you know, all those big technology that the foreign people are bringing on board. Like, we have to like look within the African space, like the Nigerian space, what are the solutions that we can see in our communities and everything. But when I hear about climate change, I just feel like this overwhelming feeling, like at once, like, ugh. Then I get kind of like, I should do whatever I can do about it. Like, so that's just the feeling about the climate change that I get.
Why do you associate this feeling with the theme of climate change?
Yes, okay. So I read a lot of literatures and I follow a lot of influencers, knowledge based Instagram. And whenever I read about the repercussions of actually not acting on climate change and the scientific insights that I can deduce from the things I read online, the ones I can interpret, and then I see that not actually doing anything at all, it's not going to make anything better, right? So that overwhelming response that I get is just from knowing that if the government is not acting now and then I'm acting, it still might not get us to a very good level. I feel like the most beautiful thing would be when everybody is working together, the government is actually doing what they're supposed to do, and so people like me, change makers and leaders across the world, are coming together to actually do more to actually solve this climate crisis or address the climate crisis. And that feeling is just a feeling of probably anxiety, eco-anxiety, or a feeling of helplessness sometimes. But then I do get over it knowing that I just have to do what I have to do.
A bit of anxiety, helplessness, and yet knowing that you need to do what you need to do. So does that also make you feel, like you said, there's the feeling of not doing anything would not help. And now you said that that inspires you to do what you have to do. But does this also mean that, or have you been at a point where you feel like, what I do, how much impact?
Yes, I have been there before. But you know, the beautiful thing that keeps me going is that when I didn't start doing anything at all, I felt really, really much more anxious than when I started doing something. Like when I was not doing anything at all, I'll just be on my laptop looking at all those news. Like it wasn't really helping anything. But when, let's take for instance, one of our programs is called the I Know Climate Program, and it's just typically to teach scientific aspects of climate to children for them to help them build their capacity and their curiosity to love science and also want to do something in their community. And then when I started doing that or carrying it out as a facilitator for that program, I realized that the feeling that I do get when those students come and say, oh, I love your session, it's actually very insightful, I have a dream of becoming a robotic engineering, do you think I'm in the right path? Like not doing anything at all, these students, literally most of them don't even know that there's anything called climate crisis. And then after our session, they're like, okay, we are informed, the little impacts that we are making on the way. Even headmistress, principals, after our session, they come to us like, oh, you guys are literally like doing a lot of work. We love what you are doing. It's new, it's creative. Most of the science students are confused. They don't know why they are studying science. They don't know why they are here, blah, blah, blah. And all those things that the ripple effect and the ripple impact of the activity that I am doing. Now, the feeling that I do get at the end of that program is different from the feeling that I was getting when I was not doing anything at all. When I go on the internet, I'm like liking people's posts and thinking I'm supporting the world. Literally going out there and doing the things makes you feel much more better. Like for me, it works for me. And that is actually what keeps me going.
Yes, absolutely. And I am sure you'll keep going for even much longer and inspiring many other people. When you spoke earlier, you talked about government and you talked a bit about perception, your perception of government when it comes to climate discourse. Can you expatiate on that a bit?
Yes. So before I actually started going into the climate space, I presented a paper in the NMGS conference, and it was one of the solutions that I proposed was that the government should fund scientific research. And immediately I said, everybody started laughing. That was even before I started this whole climate, I delved into the climate space. Now, I really did not like the whole energy I got at the conference when I said government should fund scientific research, and everybody started laughing. But the reality of it is that the way the government in Nigeria takes education and research is not really, really encouraging. And that's why a lot of people laughed at the conference, because they're like, are you dreaming? This sounds very impossible. And at the same time, I also presented that same paper at another conference, NAPE conference, and the lecturers, they didn't even look at me, and the audience were also laughing, because it's like when you talk about the government doing those kind of things, respecting education, putting education at the forefront, investing in research, everybody start laughing because they know the reality of the country. A country that is struggling with itself, struggling with its priorities, making incessant policy, can barely see through the significance of research and education. And as a Nigerian myself, I felt like I didn't really see, like when I was in school, I literally spent 7 years to study a 5 years course. And that hatred for the government because of this, their ASUU strike that prolonged it, was really, really just there. But I still had to get over those things. So those hints of the government failing as a point has always been there. And now going into the climate space, I felt like this one is even much more worse. Imagine everybody is there talking about the climate crisis, how Africa can be at the forefront of innovations, investing in scientific research, and the government is just taking other priorities serious and not this one. Even when it looks like they're doing something, they're still not addressing the root of the problem. They used to say that even in the social impact space, when you're trying to solve a problem and you're not going to the root of the problem, you're just floating on the surface. And then we as Nigerians, we can see these things for ourselves, we can see the problem, and we also can perceive the solutions. We do not most of the time hold our government accountable, and because most of those don't even have the medium. When I went to the conference, I presented my case, I called out the government, everybody was laughing. And that's like the only thing I can do. It's not like I can go to government house. And I have another experience where we tried to get a commissioner involved one time in one of our programs. And the man literally just walked us out of his office. I literally went with some Egbon Adugbo, just so you know, I was like dotting on my eyes. And then this man was like, whoa, climate change is none of his problem. That's like someone that is like a commissioner of environment. Like, what other stakeholder am I supposed to go to? Am I supposed to go to federal government of maybe CBI? I don't know. So most of those things are just factors that put themselves together. And you're like seeing through the government's biases, the things that they're not doing well, that where they can actually be better. For instance, in the research space, there's a way the government can actually promote innovation using research. For instance, in South Africa, when South Africa was having these water issues, they sponsored a lot of Africans, they sponsored a lot of people. They had this scholarship in South Africa where they brought bright-minded people from different parts of Africa to come and help them advance their solutions. And they were able to get to a good point with research. So it's like other countries are seeing the significance of research and education, but our government is just not seeing it. There are some times that we'll see news on the internet that some scholarship recipients of the federal government of Nigeria will be complaining that they've not paid their allowance. Why would they pay your allowance? Like, you even trust our government to that extent. So all these are just factors that I pull together, and it makes me realize that our government is still not addressing the root of the problem. They used to say that education is the cornerstone of sustainable development. A country that wants to actually address their climate crisis, it will show in the way they respect education, improve education, and also invest in education and research. So that's just it for me.
From what I hear, you have a position that climate change is a problem, and that
something has to be done. And that's why in your, in every way you can, you are doing what you possibly can do, right?
Yes.
Yes. But you've also talked about people, for instance, this commissioner of environment, and if many other people that you've probably met in the course of your work that do not hold the same position, they probably think otherwise. They think, what's this climate change? How do you engage with this kind of people? Let's make it a two-part question. So what are the main themes? What are the main reasons for which they hold this sort of skeptical view, for which they are not really interested in things that has to do with climate change? And then secondly, how do you then engage with them?
Okay, thank you. So in my own opinion, the first thing is that most politicians are interested in making money, right? And so most of them perceive this climate change thing to be like a philanthropical movement, like something just to give back. What are we gaining back? They'll ask you point blank. Even when you're inviting them to come and speak in a climate conference, they'll be like, what's my gain if I come and speak about climate now? Unlike other aspects, maybe entrepreneurship, tourism, different things that they will know that there's a lot they can gain there, probably by investing and those kind of things. And it boils down to their perception. And most of the time, I do ask for an opportunity to explain to them how they can actually make money from climate in the climate space. Like, okay, for instance, driving innovation. When there's new innovation, there's new technique, there's new equipment, there's new things, new technology, you can literally make money out of those things. But yeah, that one is long journey. They also want to make money quickly. As of now, one of my mentors, I actually did ask this question to her, and she said, Jumi, sometimes you just have to let some people go. And like, these stakeholders are people that we cannot replace. We still have to find a way to make them see through these things and also understand these things. And like, there's no how for me to make money in this climate change thing. It's a philanthropical movement. Even when I've taken my time to explain, when I've gone to their office several times, when I've carried dot all my eyes, went through back and forth just to make this person understand and see from where I'm coming from. But there are just some people. Some of them would actually buy into it and know, that's beautiful. Okay, I finally understand now. But some people will still not understand. There was literally a man that told me, all the money I spent in my campaign, where do you think I will share his claims that will not give me back all this money? So those kind of people, I just literally leave them. I don't waste my time with them. I have done my part. I have done my best. I think I have dot all my highs and it's still not working. So I just do without them. But I believe there are actually some good people out there, people that understand, people that can see beyond just the financial gains, that would literally listen to you, give you an avenue to express yourself. And those are the kind of people that I'm building around my network and I'm also involving in this whole climate process.
So, you don't go all the way extra into trying to convince them or trying to buy them over for this kind of people that have made up their minds, right? Is that what you
mean? No, I do not do that, because first and foremost, I don't like to waste my own time. And secondly, I do a lot of convincing. I try to talk to them, even use their own terminologists, explain to them. Most of them have farms. They can relate with this whole flooding, dryness and everything. I use those kind of examples. There was this other man that his son was in the office and his son even understood this whole climate. So it's like, they'll come and teach them in their school. It's like, hey, daddy say you see now. It's like, that what you want to do now is waste. That anything that doesn't have to do with waste, that is not doing. And I had to connect him with one of my friends I know is in recycling and those ones are in the waste. But for climate, it just doesn't work for me, right? So then I move on.
Thank you so much for your time. We'll call it a wrap in a bit. But let me, I want you to articulate it. Maybe I can deduce it in some ways. But what are the main sources of knowledge that informs your view about climate change today? Where do you get knowledge from that shapes what you understand about climate change?
Okay. So, first and foremost, I take a lot of courses, online courses on Coursera, and watch some scientific documentaries on YouTube, and most importantly, scientific publications have really been helpful towards shaping my knowledge about climate change. And one skill that I learned in 2024 that has actually really been helpful was fact checking. Even in the climate space, there are a lot of biases, a lot of different people trying to put different agendas. Even when you're reading scientific publications, you can see through those biases, like, what are you saying? I watched a Coursera course, and this man literally on a Coursera course was claiming that in rural areas in Africa, people in rural area in Africa, especially West Africa, can afford $300 per month for solar. And I was like, no, which West Africa? It was not talking. The facilitator asked him a question like, where did he get that kind of figure? He said he got the figure from a research in West Africa. Like, all those things are things that I can literally see through it, that some people are trying to like probably manipulate figures, and it was probably from a trusted source for him to quote it like that on a Coursera course. So, but as someone that is living in West Africa, I know the reality of West Africa. I do not agree with that point, and thus cannot take that opinion at all. And even I do encourage sometimes that as scientists or climate researcher, do learn how to fact check. It's not everything you say someone said to someone, or someone said this, or someone, that you accept or you admit or you start using it or start pushing. And in some cases, it's very hard to even work with some stakeholders like principal. They'll be like, oh, a lot of people have come to their school to come and talk to them about climate change, to come and tell the student to believe in. I said, well, we were not telling the student to believe in. We're coming from a scientific perspective. Those agreed facts that most scientists in the world have agreed to are the ones that we are presenting to the children. We are teaching them about it. We are also teaching them how to also ask questions. Because I remember when I was in university, my lecturer said the Earth is 4.6 billion years old. I didn't agree for 1 week straight up. I said, I can't believe that the Earth is 4.6 billion years old. But this is what I did. I just went ahead to research about it, bring some different insights together. And after on the next week of our lecture, I was the one that raised up my hand in class and said, oh, I finally agree with you now. So it means that some scientists have studied the Earth, they updated some rocks. Okay, makes sense to me. So sometimes, even as young researchers or younger youth, we should learn how to fact check. We should learn how to read from different sources, scientific publications, YouTube videos, Coursera courses, different courses. Even the internet is also a good teacher. There are a lot of biases on the internet, a lot of different, you can even see through some people's background. Some people probably they've never even gotten through anything in their life, and from their comments you see the kind of perspective that they share, and it's fine. But then you as a person, you are not supposed to hold on to someone's perspective and just be, oh, climate change is real, climate change is real. But how about telling people the scientific aspect of it, explaining to them the processes of the Earth, what is changing, what has not changed, what is still the same, what is not going to be the same, and then leave it to them to now, okay, choose to actually trust the information. Or even in the process of not trusting the information, there can be innovation in it. Like, if I don't agree with your point, in some scientific journals now, you see some people that publish their paper and they will say, oh, they published against someone that published in 2006 because this person claims something that they think is not right. And they literally write an entire research paper on that thing. So I believe that, yes, we should learn from the right sources. We should learn to fact check, and also when we are educating people about climate, try to use evidences, try to use empirical evidences, and not a notion of a belief in climate change as if probably is a religion or something. No, it's not. I think at this point, that's another problem that we have in the awareness space, where everybody's like, oh, look, you guys are just talking about the same thing. Well, me, I already believe in climate change. I'm like, no, I'm not talking to you to believe in climate change as far as Jesus Christ or something. I want to tell you how the Earth is changing, why it's changing, and all those kind of other facts that can surround, that can make my points viable. So that's just it for me.
I would also delve in to talk about this religious aspect and how many people found their knowledge on religious beliefs or spiritual connotations, but maybe not.
That one is deep.
Okay, if you had to, like, very briefly, share, have you met people
who think, climate change is, you know, spiritual and there's nothing human can do to solve it all. What are some religious connotations you've seen people associate with climate change?
Okay, thank you. So, as regards that is, especially at the local level, there was this market I went to one day and I was like literally cleaning. And then, so in short, they believe that everything that is happening is because of God. It's a normal biblical process. They've already stated it in the Bible or all those kind of different quotations. And when I explain to people how the earth is changing, there was this man, because I love to talk about climate change almost everywhere. And one time I went to Kogos, Warm Spring in Ekiti State, and I was not even explaining climate change. I started explaining natural process of the earth, how the warm spring is warm. This man said, no, it's not possible that this thing is God that did. I said, yes, it's God that did all these things. Nobody is disputing that fact. But there are some things that science can explain. Of course, there are some things that science can still not explain. But when science can explain it, and a lot of people have agreed to this knowledge, it doesn't still mean that they are trying to say, oh, God did not do it. So even in the climate space, people will come at you and tell you sometimes that you should just shut up, that everything that is happening is because of God. And I'm like, I'm trying to explain to them the things that they can do. This climate change thing, look, God did not, I didn't even have to put it, God did not burn carbon dioxide. You guys did it. And you guys have to take, you guys have to do something about the repercussions of the activities that you've done in the past, like burning fossil fuel and all this thing. They're like, no, I'm like, it's not God that burned fossil fuel. Say, you know, it's we human beings that burn. Yes, God provided us these resources, but probably we've misused it along the way. They're like, oh no, even if the world will end today, it's still because of God. God has also, he said that he will destroy the earth. It actually, I do not argue with people that put religious fact on the table. But what I try to do to them is just to explain to them that disconnect, if you disconnect this thing properly, you see that where God comes in is at the top. And at the bottom of it is human beings. We are the ones that cause all these things. These activities, anthropogenic activities, we are the ones that caused all these things. And we also can fix it. Now, when we talk about climate change, like they will pray about it. I'm like, you will pray about climate change. But... well, that's it for me. But I do not argue with them. All I try to like tell them is to explain to them evidences, facts, the things that they are doing and the things that they can stop doing. But at the end of the day, we'll just zero their mind and say, Asha Magbadura. So that's it for me.
Interesting. Thank you so much. Let me get your reaction, and this will be the last of them. Except you have questions for me. But how will you react to, if someone walks up to you and say, hey, Jumoke, Nigeria has no business with climate change. How will you react to that?
Okay. So I think this has happened before, and I love to listen to people. The person that says Nigeria has no place in climate change, I want to hear from you. What do you have to say? And at one point, the man literally said a lot of things. He said, we're not the one flying plane. We're not the one flying jets. He's mentioned a lot of things. And I told him, all these things you mentioned is valid. But what I proposed to him was the scientific fact that Africa is the one suffering the most. When we talk about climate change, okay, I asked him a question now. If climate change, this climate effect was to, let's say, flooding eats this whole of Ibadan right now, will white people come and save you with their private jets? He said no. Exactly. I say, when they talk about climate change, Africa does not have the infrastructures in place, does not have the resources in place to save anybody. So we are the one, we know that we are not the one, I say, as a whole, as a continent, that is causing this whole climate change thing. But then we have to prepare ahead of it. We have to save ourselves. We have the power in our own palms to save ourselves. And nobody is going to save us. Even if those people have caused climate change, if the worst was going to happen today, they do not care per se. Like, they are not going to come and save you. They will save their own people. So, if flooding was to happen, if it's this heat wave that is happening, have you seen any private jets come and lift you? No. So, if you say that Africa has no place in climate discussion, I think Africa has a place in climate discussion, because if the worst of climate crisis was supposed to happen today, Africa or Nigeria stands among most of one of the countries that will not be able to stand the impacts of this effect. they will not be able to stand. They will not even be able to save their people. Have you seen places that are flooding East Nigeria, what they are doing right now? The aid that they are sending them. Imagine it's eating like different part of the country. What do you think your government's doing? And the man was like, ah, that's true. He was not giving me reference about his farm, how he's flooding it, his farm. Nobody know, nobody save him. He just had to dash up Bumalara. That phrase that they say in Yoruba. So it's just like I just tend to like explain from them. I get the point you are coming from. I get the angle you are coming from. But this is another angle. If the worst was supposed to happen today, which continent do you think will suffer the most? And I present them facts, statistics that says that Sub-Saharan Africa is actually one of the most affected, will be one of the most affected places in the future. And it's also getting affected right now. So I just tell them facts, explain to them. So that's just it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Great. Just like you said, except you understand the reason why people take positions that they take, it is difficult for you to get them to see otherwise. Even if the positions they take are very, you know, based on big assumptions, but except you have conversations with them that opens their mind up to see things differently, then it's not, we cannot just assume that we can go to people and say, believe in climate change, it's real, you know. We must be able to accept the fact that these positions they are taking is formed because of, you know, different reasons, different realities. It could even be because of poor knowledge that they have. But engaging them in this way, knowing why they think this way, helps us to then, you know, frame how we put forward our narrative, or I will put forward the right thing to them to say, hey, this thing is real and this is why it is real. You said this, and you can then give them very parallel reasoning as to what they have presented.
Exactly. That's beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much for sticking through and for enjoying this conversation we've just had. My guest has been Jumoke Omodeni, and it's been a pleasure having this chat with her and trying to co-create the meaning of climate change, how people think about it, what actions and what it projects into the future. That's the size of the package. I want to say thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for spending your few minutes with us. And I hope that you find this useful and relevant, and that you'll share it with people within your network. Until we come again with another episode of the Climate Talk podcast, you're welcome to check other episodes that we've recorded. Remember, the website is www.climatetalkpodcast.com, and you'll find the Climate Talk podcast on every podcast streaming platform. Just search for Climate Talk Podcast. If you have questions and would like to reach out to me, my email address is shei@climatetalkpodcast.com. And Shei is spelled S-E-Y-I @climatetalkpodcast.com. You can also reach my colleagues and their administrative team via admin@climatetalkpodcast.com. If you have questions for us, if you want to be a guest, if there are thoughts or ideas that you think you want to contribute to, or if you want to just have a chat about what it is that you are doing, you're welcome to reach out to us. And I'm going to be really, really glad to have these conversations again with you. That's the size of the package. My name is Shei Fumi Adebote, and like I say every time, no action is too small. So as you go about your business today, continue to take every climate action you can, and know that somehow it's contributing to making our world a better place. Thank you, and bye for now.